Thank you very much. Thanks for your invite. I've been very much held to feel welcome as I've come down. I'm not a ventriloquist. Bernice at the back has given me a Sheffield Eagles mascot. That's a local rugby team. One of my really good friends, Keith Senior, helps coach Sheffield Eagles. And so I'm going to leave you up here. It's a really great looking team, I think. But thanks for bringing us that, Bernice. It's really nice to come down here, actually. I get invited to come and say a few things at various different places. To go to churches and share my faith, going to schools and talk about my sport and in the media, in radio and TV and all kinds of things. And about a third of the feedback that I always get is that nobody can understand a word I'm saying. Like, this Yorkshire kid from Leeds, what you're on about, what I stop talking so fast, slow down. So I come down to Rotherham, probably the king of the Yorkshire sort of accent. And Bernice as well, I think you're born on the 1st of August. Yorkshire Day. I refused to be born on any other day other than Yorkshire Day. That's how through and through Yorkshire I am. But it's interesting driving into Rotherham as well. See the stadium. It's called the New York Stadium, I've been told. That's brilliant. I always say that I always tell everybody that I'm from the Big Apple too. Have we started? Oh, come on, Sam. One job. Well, say jokes are always about timing. We've ruined this one, Sam. Thank you very much. I'm from the Big Apple. Anyway, do you want to fire it up? Next one. Bramley in Leeds. You get it, ba-boom. Throw it up, Sam. Keep going, pal. This is a picture of Bramley where I grew up. The best picture I could find of Bramley. It's 1850, I think, this came from. And Bramley's been on a steady decline ever since, but it is home. It's a concrete eyesore. Now, all nice stone buildings like this one have since gone. But it's where I grew up, a bit like Dorothy and Wizard of Oz. You know, no place like home. Keep going, Paul. There's a few rugby players that come from Bramley as well. I don't know if you're into rugby league. But Jamie Peacock used to be the England captain. He's a big, strong player. He's 36 years old. Everybody keeps telling him to retire from rugby. He's getting too old. But he keeps going. He's a real stalwart. He's real tough. Jamie Peacock has been awarded an MBE for his services in the community. Great lad. This is Ryan Bailey, a little bit different. Other end of the spectrum. He's a bit rough and ready around the edges. All right. He's been awarded a GBH for his services to the community, unfortunately. So we get them at both ends of the scale, right? Nobody's perfect. At the end of the day, I'm just a clear jar, clear pot, like anybody else. I'm not from any special town, just from a little town in the west end of Leeds. I love them both to bits. Do you want to go? Keep going, Sam. So my journey, I just want to give you a bit of a base of context into my journey as a young kid, all right? I bet you can't tell which one's me. What's really weird about this photograph, right, is that I'm the youngest in my year. So apart from this kid with orange ball, who I suspect is somebody else's little brother, I'm the youngest in that group, and I was always the biggest. Even when I cut my afro off, I was massive. And I love my afro, obviously. Unfortunately, I can't grow it anymore. But it was that big then. My mum could put Velcro on my bedroom roof, stop me from jumping up and down up bed. Like that every time. Oops, sorry. Usually that loud. Turn it down, Sam. What are you doing? So anyway, I was that big and strong that I was really good at PE. I was good at sport. I was very athletic. I loved being out in playground, playing with kids. And I started to realise that when you take your first steps into society by yourself without your mum and dad to hold you around, it's at school. And you've got to make your own friends. And I found that I used to make a lot of friends around the sporting context. Because if I was playing on your team, you was going to win. Because I was going to make sure we were going to win. Everything was about winning. I was that much bigger and stronger than everybody else. If we weren't winning, I just made sure that we would by brute force, unfortunately, back then. I've changed a little bit now because I'm one of the smallest in the team, but it was all about sport for me. So then I started playing rugby, essentially, because I moved in next door to two rugby players. Now, rugby is a very sort of tribal game. It's not like soccer where everybody goes out the street and plays it. Kids only tend to play rugby league either because somebody's told them, right, that's what you're going to do, and then all your family's done that forever, or you get invited along. And I got invited along by a guy called Brian Sowden, who just come in one day to our school. He did some after-school rugby league sessions. And because I'd been playing in my street with my friends, I knew what it was. And I love football, mate. I didn't want to play rugby league, if I'm honest with you. But these kids were biggest in the street, and they decided what we were playing. So I got an involuntary education, and it was fantastic. So I started becoming a rugby player. This is Stanningley, my amateur club. And I went through from being about under-9s up to about under-15s. Just a great place and environment for me to meet new people, new friends, and have new social interactions. Go on, Sam, we'll fire quickly through this. And then this is me at number 15 playing for England. I apologise for calling it photographs. I had to take pictures here. We didn't have digital cameras and that even back then. I'm 33. And I wish I was a bit younger. But basically, we've got this guy here. This is Kevin Sinfield, a really good friend of mine. He's England. We've just retired from the England captaincy. And me and Kev have been like this from being 12. I was best man at his wedding. He was best man at mine. And he's a fantastic lad. But it ended up where it became a little bit like, where's Wally? Have you seen the cartoon, Where's Wally? Whenever you see Kev Sinfield, it's like, where's Jonesy at background somewhere? He was a star at the front with all the trophies, the captains. And I was following him on his journey. And the reason being is because when I saw him at 12, even though I loved sport and I was pretty good, I saw this kid and he was so disciplined, he was so meticulous in his preparation. He was the ultimate professional at 12 years old. I thought, wow, how good is this lad? I'm not going to be able to beat him. But do you know what? If I follow some of the examples that he sets, being there first on training, wearing the right kit, taking the right things with you, being a great professional, not getting angry, all these little virtues that make a good professional sportsman, he had them all at a young age. And obviously that's why he's been a captain, won so many trophies. But I've been fortunate to go on that journey with him, and it'll all make a bit more sense as we go on. This is me playing for Great Britain again with him. Keep going, Sam. And then I made my debut in 1999 for Leeds Rhinos, and I had my testimonial in 2009, but it wasn't until 2004, all right, that I started playing regular. So imagine I'm a young kid at 17, I get a taste of it, and it's not like, right, you're in the first team every week now. I was bouncing between the first team and the second team, and it was a really tough journey. There was at times when I thought, I'm getting older, I'm not going to make it, I need to give up, and I might have to go to another team, take a step sideways, a step backwards. I thought, you know what, I'll keep going, keep working hard. And I had a few injuries as well as an 18, 19-year-old, and I really struggled. But I stuck with it, and by God's grace, ended up getting there in the end, and I've had a really good journey in rugby league as I'll carry it on. We've won 6 grand finals, so we've won it more times than Wigan have done the grand final in the Super League era. We've won the World Club Challenge 3 times, so whenever you win the English Super League, you play the winners of the Australian version, the NRL, and there's no better than bashing arrogant Aussies either when they come over here to try and get us. So we've won that 3 times, we've lost 3 as well, out of 6, so 50-50. Played for England, been really blessed, fortunate to play, represent my country. I was really a late developer in that as well. I was about 27 before I got my first goal, and once you get it, you want more, and it's a real honour to step out there in that red and white jersey. And God willing, again, I've got one more chance. I'm 33 now, and this is probably my last chance this year to play for England. If I do, that'd be great. If I don't, then that's fine as well. And I'm happy with the career that I've had, and somebody else who's better will take my place, and wish them all the best. I've also had, up until 4 weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago yesterday, I'd never won a Challenge Cup, all right? And Sam's excited at the back. But whenever I give this talk 3-4 weeks ago, all right, it's always for me being about this delayed gratification, being able to persist in a journey. And the fact that we had won 6 grand finals and all these trophies over our career has almost become laughable and a bit of a hoodoo on our back that we'd never won a Challenge Cup. And people started to say, well, you can't call yourself the best Leeds team ever or whatever. And that's not what we're trying to do, but we've got a lot of almost, not criticism, but a lot of fun taken out of us because we'd never won a Challenge Cup, and could this generation of Leeds players win it? But out of all them finals that I lost, 4 finals, a million tears, the defeat and the feeling of adversity was what really strengthened us as a group, as our character. And I know reading the Gospels, I'm going to touch on a bit later, persistence, perseverance, persecution, all those things that we want to run away from and really hurt us inside, physically and mentally, they make us strong, and in doing so, you get that reward at the end of it. So I'm just keep going, pal. A little bit of history really quickly. This year, 2014, it's a special year in Leeds because it's the 150th year since rugby first came to Leeds, and that manifested itself in rugby league. Unfortunately, there's still games like rugby union knocking about, a bit of organised chaos there. But bit of history for you. So we're celebrating that at Leeds Minster in November, end of November. We're having a special service to talk about rugby league, its history, and I've been asked to speak about being a Christian in that sport as well, to put the both together, and that's what I want to do with the next couple of minutes here, just try and take you on 2 journeys and give you a bit of an objective truth and an even bigger subjective truth as well. So Sam, keep going, pal. So this is Samuel Marsden, somebody I found out about, and this is the second reason why it's special, 2014. So remember, it's 150 years since Leeds, all right? 200 years ago this year, a guy called Samuel Marsden, who's from Leeds, is from about a mile and a half from where I live, in Farsley. He was a minister, and he used to work for the government, and he used to help out with the penal colonies in Australia, so he used to travel over there, and he's accredited with being the guy that first took the gospel message to New Zealand in 1814. All right, so went all the way over there, and he lives 2 minutes away from me, and this is why this is relevant, because nearly 200 years later, there's a guy from New Zealand come all the way over to England, and he brought the gospel back to me. And the reason I become a Christian was a very similar story between a guy called Jason Robinson, who used to play for England, really famous rugby league and union player, and Viga Twigamala. They both met. Viga Twigamala was a Christian, a witness to him, and he changed him. And Jason Robinson, a South Leeds lad, become a Christian. Very similar to me. Slow down a bit, Sam. Slow down, lad. You're all right, pal. Ali come over, and you could tell straight away when he come. I've never met him before, but he was a different guy, and he was an absolutely lovely fella. He was a fierce competitor, one of the best second rows in the world, which did help me, because I was a second row, trying to get through still, and Leeds went and signed the best one, which didn't make my job any easier. But when you look at Corinthians, and you talk about being yoked with unbelievers, Ali Lautiti, he'd come and he'd work really hard, and he'd be one of the lads in the changing rooms, but there'd come a point where he'd be like, "Oh, fellas, no, I can't be up to do with that." And you know, it was very obvious that he was a Christian, and he separated himself from certain things that cankerous rugby league players, you know, boisterous rugby lads would want to go out and have a beer and carry on and cause all kinds of chaos. There was just something different about him, and the lads respected him for that. But for me, I'd grown up, and I'd never grown up in a biblical background, I didn't have a religious background, but I did believe in God. I'd never been to church in any context other than for a wedding or a christening. So I didn't know theologically who Jesus was or what the Bible was about, what the Gospels were about. But when I met Ali, it was an opportunity for me to ask a friend, a colleague, somebody I trusted about his faith. He invited me along to City Evangelical Church in Leeds, which is where you obviously know where Sam's from. Again, he's pushing the air there. And a guy called Mike Wildsmith, I'm going to pass that through, took me under his wing. And he invited me in. He was a pastor, and he's a pastor now at Bridge Chapel in Liverpool. And he did the Christianity Explored class for me, a bit of a comprehension book, and started taking me through Matthew's Gospel, started to learn who Jesus was, put a little bit of theology into what I was learning and what I was feeling. And those feelings of believing that there was a God out there, it started to sort of come together. I got married in 08, encouraged me to get married. My wife and my wife now, we've been together from being very young. I think we were about 14 when we met at school. I'm 33, we're still together now. He encouraged us to get married. When I got married in Christ Jesus, written in my wedding ring in Aramaic, as almost a reminder that I wanted Jesus to be at the centre of my marriage life. You know, the symbology, the symbolism between the church and Jesus coming together. And all that come out of my married life, I wanted that to be really fruitful. And I'm really blessed to have four children, four little boys, I think they're all here. All kinds of different names. And I have been blessed. You know, when you read Genesis and you listen to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and all those characters, those patriarchs, that what they do in their faith for God's glory, it travels on for hundreds, thousands of years, and it influences them. And certainly as a father, you know, again, because of Jesus is at the centre of my wedding life, my marriage life, I want to be a father that influences those children and gives them a biblical background and upbringing that I never had, so they can know Jesus is when as they grow. And hopefully, God willing, they'll get baptised themselves one day, and they'll allow them into their hearts as well. In 2009, I was baptised at City Evangelical Church again. I went there in the morning, and I'm not kidding, you know, being big, supposed to be a big rugby player, I was almost in tears. In fact, I did shed a few tears between me and you. Some of the people that got baptised first, it was so emotional. And I couldn't wait to go back in the evening and get done. I invited a load of friends and family, and it was a great chance for me to witness and tell them about my faith and how my life had changed. And I think a lot of them had seen the change as well in me over the years, being this crazy lad who wanted to go out and win at all costs to somebody who'd become a follower of Jesus. So, I'm going to finish with it. It's not going to finish here. I've got a little bit longer, but there's a bit of a big truth and a little truth. So the little truth is that's all about me. That's subjective, all right? It's probably irrelevant to everybody in here because it's not you. It's me. Now, you might be able to pick up some parallels. There might be some things that you can relate to, and you might want to ask questions about that after. But before you do, I want you to understand that I keep reading the Bible. I keep doing those Bible studies. And one of the things that I did earlier this year was Genesis. I went back to Genesis and went through it. And as you know, the original five books of the Bible would have been written in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew has numerical values for words as well as the word value of it as well. I started getting really deep into it, and I come across this poem, and it was really good because I come across it at a time that was really difficult for me. I was going through a massive injury crisis, and before I do, I'll just really quickly tell you what that was. All right, so I'll step here, reminder, I'm off track. 12 months ago, I got a torn posterior cruciate ligament in my knee, so it meant that I missed out on the World Cup that I've been building for 3 years to play in. I was an England player, missed the World Cup. I went back after the World Cup, the pre-season, got really strong again, thought I'll write that year off and just start again at the beginning of the year. 2 weeks before the game, I tore my left calf. Never tore my calf before in my life, thought, what's going on here? So I went through that, thought, just a bit of a bad time, a bit of a mishap. Keep smiling, keep positive, I've got my faith, you know, that's what's most important. And then when I come back, I tore my bicep in a game, 11 minutes into the game, this massive thing called Mossy Masori. All right, he plays for St. Helens. It's like tackling that piano. And his elbow hit my bicep, and it tore off the bone, and it almost wrapped around here. You can see the scar. And I carried, this was 11 minutes in, so I carried on till half-time, so I played for 30 minutes with it. And it was sore, but the doctor says to me, if you carry on playing, it's probably going to rupture it, and you're going to be out for a long time, so you better come off. So I said, no worries. Well, it already ruptured, so that was that curtains. I had to have that surgically reattached. That was 12 weeks. So I got through the end of this, I'm scratching my head, and I'm almost in tears on the bench. 12 weeks later, I come back, got back training, played my first game back, tore my right calf. They all laugh, it wasn't funny at times, I'm telling you. And I start thinking to myself, I'm 33 years old, am I too old now? Now, am I getting to the end of it, do I need to retire? It's great being a rugby player, and I like playing in front of my kids. My kids play a little bit as well, and all that, but am I just being stubborn? No, persistence can sometimes turn to stubbornness. But I thought, no, I'm going to carry on. So anyway, back to this poem that I come across, and the poem goes like this, you ready? If I am I because I am I, and you, because you are you, then I am I and you are you. But if you are you because I am I, or I am I because you are you, then I'm not I and you're not you. You get it? You hear it? A bit too quick? Basically, it's a poetic way of saying that we're all created in God's image. We've all got different gifts. We've all got different abilities. And we can use them for one or two ways, for our own self-gain, or we can use them for God's glory and his gain. The real analogy that I think everybody outside that church understands, right, is that you go to any cinema and you'll see a new Batman film, a new Spider-Man film, a new Avengers, whatever it is. Humanity's obsessed with superhero films. And I think a lot of that is because they all know that we've got these gifts within us. All right, and if you think about the superheroes, I know this is a bit wacky, right, so stick with me. But if you think about superheroes, they go use their talents and their abilities for other people to go serve the society. And quite often they do it when they're masked, so they've got humility as well. So they've got these virtues of being powerful, doing it for other people, but they've all got that kryptonite, something that challenges them, so them stumbling blocks. Think about the villains, they're just as powerful, they've got special talents as well, but they do it right with their faces fully open, not front of the paper, this is me, and they quite often do it for their own game, and they've got the two battling together. Now I know as a rugby player, alright, this little truth on a rugby pitch, that all my players that I play with, there's nothing special about them, there's certainly nothing special about me. My superpower is that I am average for long periods of time. Alright, that's it. I'm not great at anything, trust me. The lads are just not. Jones here, he's not no superstar, he's just a grafter. But my boys know, and the people that I play with know, that when we're in a grand final, there's 5 minutes to go, and the pressure's, the crowd's on you, referee seems to be going against you, rain's pouring down, and you need somebody to just keep making tackles. I'll go and make the tackles as long as one of my other mates comes up with something special, a chip over the top on an 80-metre try, and wins us a trophy. And I am happy with that. And that's why, Sam, if you just keep, just pass that next one. That's why I think that we've all done that. We've used our special talents, all right, to serve one another within the team. So I don't go do it for me. I'm Jonesy, I'm a grafter, me, and I want everybody in the world to know about it. I just do it so that Rob Burrow's got the energy to go do something special. Kev Shinfield's got the energy to go kick a goal or kick to touch. And all the other people in my team can do their bit because we're all doing it for each other, not for ourselves. And that's why we've won 6 grand finals, 3 World Cup challenges. Well, son. But at the end of that as well, there's obviously that suffering. Now, I know that you lot will be all thinking, well, we're not rugby players, and this is a gospel, I don't know, but in a church we're talking about Jesus. My point of the last bit being that we're all God's people, we're all created by Him, we've all got abilities and gifts that He has given us, we're all created in His image, right? We are the little I ams, He's the big I am, as we're going to touch on in a minute, as He describes Himself to Moses. And you people, as a church, as a group, serve Him, your talents, for His glory. All right, so everything that you do, hopefully, before that church body and for God's glory, they're the superheroes. That's what I'm trying to get across with, you know, the people out there, the smaller two. But there's always suffering and persistence involved in that. I've had loads of injuries. I've had some absolute nightmares. I've mentioned the Challenge Cup experience. It was really tough for us. And Apostle Paul, when you listen to his ministry, he talks about it a lot. Some of the suffering that he goes through, you know, Jesus, he suffers. Massively leading up to the crucifixion. One of the most inspiring characters in the Bible for me is Job. How he gets tested, you know, in the first two chapters of Job, when, you know, Satan comes to God and says, the only reason why this bloke's righteousness is because you've given him everything. So God allows him to suffer. He allows him to go through that refining fire. And at the end of it, to see that we need this counselor, we need the mediator, we need Jesus. And, you know, the law of Moses and all this suffering helps us to realise that we can't do it. We are going to suffer. We need Jesus to be that mediator and bring us to God. And at the end of all that suffering, that Challenge Cup, that picture, I've got it 4 months ago. So in a sporting context, it's there. It's like, oh, I'm buzzing. And usually when I'm in schools and all, there's a few kids and that, I usually go, yeah, as loud as I can and make everybody jump out of the screen, but it's probably not the best place to do that. So we got there, and it's brilliant, and it's nice to be able to show the young kids the medals. But it's entropic. It's a piece of metal at the end of the day. It means a little bit to me because of the journey. But that'll go in my loft, right? My kids might like it. Oh, I remember when Dad won that. Yeah, when Dad won, we had a great trip. Got his hair cut and all that, carry on. To their kids, all right, it'll probably mean very little. End up in back of a loft. The Challenge Cup itself will degrade at some point. The Challenge Cup won't exist in however many hundreds of years, probably, and certainly nobody will remember me or anything I've ever done. All the biggest thing for me, out of all them trophies, is remembering, right, every single one of them faces and what they are. So it's that relationship with my teammates, all right? And I can look at every one of them characters, and I'll be able to do it for the next 60, 70 years, God willing. I've decided, well, I'm hoping to live to 120. I know that's a good biblical max age, and I hope I get there. But just looking at all these lads, it's not the trophies and the medals, it's the people, it's the relationship, right? Using them powers for your teammates. Just flick it on again, Sam. And this is how I want to bring it all together. So, Jesus, God, is a great I am, all right? He's the one that we're all serving, using our powers in real life. The sport is just a folly. It's just a game. That's all it is. Leeds fans would go mad if they heard me saying this, but it doesn't matter whether we win or lose. It's the courage to continue that counts, right? This is a Winston Churchill quote, but it's what we do on that journey, how we serve each other, that we get that success. And it's same in the big picture in life as well. Again, Jesus tells us, before Abraham was born, I am. He's the big I am. I am who I am. And at the bottom, we bring that together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbour. So everything that you do, last one, you do it for God's glory, in service to your friends. So whenever I scored my tries up in for Rhinos early on, I always give glory to God for all the gifts that He's given me and an opportunity to go out and express myself in rugby. But actually, the bigger truth is that doing it to serve Him somehow. And I remember when we won 4 weeks ago, this is me here, just on my knees, and all lads are jumping about, and that's great, that's brilliant. They deserve to jump about, they've waited a long time for it, but I had somebody to thank first for, you know, giving me the strength to carry on and giving me this illustration of a journey that is a picture of what life's about, you know, striving always. And Apostle Paul, doesn't he tells us, I think it's in Corinthians again, that the athletes are going to training, I'm paraphrasing here, they're going to training and they run for a crown that doesn't last forever. But you Christians are running for a crown that does last forever in Jesus as well. So that's my story. That's how I sort of link my odd career, if you like, into my faith. The great thing about being a rugby player is that I get on telly and there's a little bit of media now and again, and it's brilliant to be able to tell other people that I am a Christian and tell them about faith, and hopefully it'll encourage them to go and seek it out as well. And I pray that God will open their hearts and let him in. Also, the flip side of that is you get judged a lot as well. So now and again, when I get a smack in my mouth and there's some of my teeth falling out and my blood everywhere, and referee's not going to penalise me for that, and I go, oh, is that Jimmy? He's supposed to be a Christian. He can't get angry. He's not supposed to do that. I was over at Wigan, actually, about 6 months ago, and I'd played against Wigan. We'd won as well. And I'd accidentally, well, I didn't mean to do it, but I'd give an eye tackle, and I'd give a penalty away. And this guy in the congregation said, oh, you give an eye tackle away at Wigan last week. What do you think you're doing? So I said, listen, mate, I've been told it's better to give than receive. Obviously, I'm only joking. But yeah, it's a flip side. I'm not perfect. I don't profess to be perfect. I'm just on a journey, living a life as a rugby player at the minute, and telling other people about my faith and learning more about this great book here. So I don't know if anybody's got any questions, anything rugby-related or faith-related that you want to ask me. I've waffled on. I can waffle on all day, but I'm happy to take a few if...
Jamie, we were going to have a Q&A. I'm sure that Jamie's story raised all sorts of questions. So if anyone's got any questions, you can ask them afterwards. But if everyone's got a question now, we can carry on. And if you've got the bottle to ask a question, or you're too shy, you might have to wait till afterwards.
Quiet. Nope. None at all. None at all. None about anything. Trust me, I've had every question you can think of under the sun. No? Cool.
Ian,
here we are.
So I'd love to know, my friend, when did you first come to Christ? What was the moment when you knew that your time was there?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was talking about it this week. I do a Bible study, going through Galatians at the minute, and talking about Zion and the two Jerusalems, Jerusalem being like a plural. There wasn't a time specifically when I had some sort of epiphany. I've just grown. Like I said, when I was younger, I believe that I did belong. In the New Testament, it talks about elect, and I did believe that I belonged to this new Jerusalem, this spiritual one. I just needed to find out what that meant and who Jesus was theologically, and then grow as a Christian as well. And that perseverance, you know, as we're talking about when you go through life suffering, actually you go through life as well growing. Every moment that you are suffering and reading the gospel, the more you're growing as well as a Christian. So I'm not going to stand here and say there was some big wow moment and try to inspire everybody, because there wasn't. There's various times when I've had hairs up back of my neck and revelation, you know, so it's been revealed to me. I thought, wow, you know, this is unbelievable. And I'm getting hairs up back of my neck now talking to you. But I've just grown, and God willing, I'll continue to grow as well.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Do you ever get any sort of abuse and difficulties with being a Christian?
Do I get any abuse about being a Christian? A lot of people know I'm a Christian. I know when you look at me, it's probably not first religion that pops to mind. I do get a bit of stick for that. But no, do you know what? As a rugby league player in the changing rooms, the lads love a bit of banter, but you've got to remember rugby league are all blue collar working class lads, down to earth, and whilst you get a bit of banter and that, oh Jones, you can't do this, or you can't listen to this, or you're not coming with us, blah blah blah, or again a bit like the supporters, if you do something that's a bit, what are you doing, oh you're going to, devil's on your back and all this, carry on, but actually when it gets a bit quiet and you're on your own and other lads have gone out of changing rooms and there might be two or three left and they're struggling with something in their life, the amount of times you get asked, oh, what does the Bible say about this? Or you know, tell me a bit more about your faith. And I just pray that in them moments I'm ready and able to give them something that'll give them an insight to go find out for themselves. I know there's other rugby players and certainly cricketers, Yorkshire Cricket. There's a Christian at Yorkshire Cricket who they obviously share the same ground geographically. And they were really his teammates. Says to him, listen, if you're going to be a Christian, fair enough, but we don't want to hear about it, sort of thing. And he was very much segregated. He was a bit stressed by it. I got an email from a rugby league, women's rugby league player. She played for England. She was a female rugby league player. She was playing international, and she wanted to do things like pray for the team in meetings, she'd mention her faith quite a lot, and they were on the back saying, do you know, we don't want to know, God bother her and all this kind of thing. And it's all I can do is just encourage them, I guess. But thankfully, I've never been given any of that. But I'm one of these characters as well who just repel it straight back and give them some, try and give them a decent answer. It's a great one, that. And it's always tough because no, neither of us were. My wife was from a very Catholic background. Her dad's a Murphy. He's Irish. Can you imagine where that's going? There's about 100 of them. And I try not to be driving that. But when I started going to church, obviously I invited her along, and she comes and my boys go. And they're growing as well, they're starting to understand it. And my wife's very, very encouraging. You know, around the table, she makes them all to wait and we're saying his prayers and that kind of thing. It's been fantastic. I saw a stat somewhere from America that said when the male in the household is a Christian, there's a massive percentage that everybody else follows suit. And I guess as head of a household, I do pray as well, that I do influence that on my kids. But as I said, blessed my wife, my relationship with my wife, and my marriage has been the best thing God has given me on earth. Miles better than what I've got on these trophies. If I had another day to live out again, I think a lot of players would think, oh, playing a grand final with Challenge Cup. For me, it'd be my wedding day and the birth of my kids all day long. You know, they're things that you cannot achieve. They're just God given, and I'm fortunate to be blessed.
I don't think it would work if I'd like to give birth to kids all day long. Just for the women out there. But I know you mean. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good one. So rugby players, we're not footballers, and we can't retire when we're finished. Don't earn anywhere near enough money, and I wouldn't want to, but to be fair. When I was at Leeds, I went back to university, did a degree in Leeds in sport and exercise science. I do a lot of media work, I write columns. Been doing a lot of radio stuff as well. Last year when I missed out on England, I did a lot with Five Live. Just try to add strings to my bow. I do a lot of coaching. I love the coaching. I guess, you know, when I say love your neighbour, I love human beings, and what every different person has got a new attribute. The great thing about rugby league is you can be this big, like Rob Burrow, honestly, tiny, or you 60 kgs, or you can be 130 kilograms, this big, an absolute monster, and they all fit in. They're all different. They bring different skills. So I like being around people and giving back. Coaching was fantastic as well. More recently, I've been working with the charity Leeds Rugby Foundation, working with the admin. I'm a governor at my school, really busy, and obviously stuff like this from my church. When I finish, I would like to do a bit more like what Sam's been doing, and learn the gospel more, and contribute more in my local church as well, where I'm at. So certainly telling people about my faith. When you're coaching, it's great stuff like Easter. You can take Easter eggs into kids, they love the little cabbage cream eggs. I don't like conditioner, see it, like fitness coach. I'm like, yeah, lads, I have a Easter egg each, and it gives me an opportunity to talk about my faith. So, you know, little bits. I don't know, to answer your question, completely what I'm going to do, but I've got a lot of ideas.
That's great. We're going to be looking for an apprentice, actually. And Easter eggs are shaped like rugby balls as well, aren't
they? Yeah.
There's a good connection there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions?
How did your school friends react?
School friends?
Yeah.
Do you know, there's only probably three or four that I still see. You have a lot of acquaintances and you have friends. The acquaintances I don't really see anymore. Unless we win, we get to a final and they need tickets, I see them all then. But my best friend Danny Lerman, I invite him along to church. He's never quite grasped him, but I've never had any negative sort of come back from any of them. What was really encouraging is I've been invited to churches to come and do something similar to this, and seen friends that used to go to my school there and have become Christians. There was a lad called Andy Kirk who I played with in the academy at Leeds. He left the academy to go play for Featherstone and Salford, and I didn't see him for years. And then all of a sudden, I met up with him. He had this a sports massage place called Born Again Therapy. And he was going to Abundant Life Church in Bradford. And he was like, mega, like, changed, completely transformed. And actually on the, was it Wednesday this week, we went to a church together and to give this sort of parallel testimony and talk about rugby and our faith in Dewsbury, which was really encouraging as well. So that's interesting, isn't it? You know, God works in his definitely mysterious ways.
Let me ask you one final question. We've got a wide range of different people here today. What would you say to someone who was curious about Christianity, but maybe not yet a Christian? What advice would you give them in terms of how to approach their questions about Christianity?
Yeah, I think God reveals to us in general revelation, you know, just outside looking, that there's a creation out there and there's a God there that loves us. He sent his Son into the world. You know, the Word became flesh, and through his life, ministry, death and resurrection, you know, we've got the opportunity for eternal life. And if you want to know more about it, definitely, you know, it might be the best decision, well, it will be the most important decision you've ever made, to maybe come and ask another Christian, somebody who's already at church, and find out more about the faith. Maybe just take up a Christianity Explored. Give yourself 6 weeks to go through a piece of the Bible and see what you think. You know, I'll be honest with you, I was like that. At first, I had this feeling, this need to go to church and learn what it was about, and I didn't want to go, if I'm honest with you. But I felt I really needed to. I thought when I get there, it's going to be full of people like Ned Flanders from Simpsons, you know, wearing sandals and socks and jumpers and all kinds of stuff. But it isn't. It's different. Like I said with the teammates, everybody's got different abilities, different personalities, different attributes, and all they're doing is doing it for God's glory, to serve God in the person of Jesus. You know, so come along and find out more of it, and it will change your life and hopefully prolong it to eternal life beyond 120 years.
Well, thanks so much, Jamie, for coming today, and for being not a ventriloquist.